Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. The home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the people. And this week, we've got sights, sounds, and scenes, and people. Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana is going to join me, and we are going to talk ambulance. We got to experience ambulance in 4K with Dolby Atmos, and I really was dying to talk about it. So that's what we get into. We break it down, spoiler-free, what to look forward to when the 4K disc comes out. I think everybody's going to want to own this. This is a fantastic disc. Todd made the statement that it's one of the best, and I have to agree with him, and we get into the whys and the hows and all that, all spoiler-free. And we also talk aspect ratio. He's a big fan of CinemaScope, and I wanted to get his opinion and have him let us know why that is important, because I've had a couple of revelations myself. I've always said I go back and forth. I could go either way on that, and I found out why. And then he reaffirmed it for me, and I think you guys will really enjoy that too. So stick around for both conversations. We break it all down. We have so much fun. You're a great guy. Lots of fun. Let's get to it.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Yeah. 12 midnight.
Yeah.
We're like half asleep over the mic.
Right, because we say that all the time. I get you on and be like, all right, what's your heart out or anything? It's never.
I do have a heart out right around there because we've got two deliveries coming today.
They're
scheduled to be coming in between 12 and 3. So.
Okay. So,
behoove me to be ready. If I'm not answering that door, you probably won't be talking to me for a couple weeks.
Well, everybody listening, if you listen, thank you, Todd, bailing me out this week. Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana. What's that?
Hello.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I had another guest lined up for a different topic, but that fell through here's what's funny. You and I were trying to get on. Your email wasn't working. I was trying to get on. I'm trying to do stuff this week. My software isn't working correctly. My guest that was supposed to be on this week, his internet's down at his house. He's like,
wow.
I can't. Yeah. So it's like, we couldn't do it. So I'm like, and I don't have time to throw anything else together. So I text you, buddy. And you were like,
spontaneous.
I was like, can you jump on? And here's a funny thing, let me just tell you this too. So the guest that I was supposed to have on, I don't want to throw him under the bus. He didn't do anything wrong, nothing wrong. All my guests are awesome, but he's like, he texts me and's like, my internet's down, I'm not going to be able to get on. I've been feeling crappy all week. I didn't even want to record last night, but I had just downed an energy drink. There was nothing I could do. I was like, oh no. So I called him. I go, oh my God. And we just laughed about it. But I'm like, so he's apologizing. And I'm like, don't worry about it. But I'm like, now I was up till midnight anyways. Cause I'm just like, ooh, ooh. You said you were going out. So here we are today jumping on. And thank you very much, Todd. I really, really appreciate it. Very topical. It works out perfectly because we have two great topics to talk about. The first one being ambulance. It's kind of going around the internet right now. And, I wanted you here for two reasons, because one, you agree with me and I love you for that. And two, you said you also hear, you're hearing stuff of negatives. I loved that comment. I saw you on Twitter saying people are being negative to this. So Let's get that out of the way right away. What is that?
It was I forget where I read the comment, but it was definitely a millennial who basically just said that it was a mind numbing movie. He couldn't even finish it. You saw my response on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, I think it definitely is a movie that grabs at those 1990s heartstrings. It's just such a classic Michael Bay action flick. It's not, you know, not in the Transformers sense, but in those early days, you know, The Rock, Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Armageddon.
Yes.
And all the other movies that came out around that time that kind of mimicked that Con Air, you know, there was a lot of them. And boy, I thought this movie was firing on all cylinders from beginning to end, even though it's a tad bit too long, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. It is a tad bit too long. And just to get out of the way, let's do this all spoiler free. Cause we have plenty to talk about, even spoiler free on this. Because, I mean, it is a Michael Bay movie, so there's the biggest spoiler. Right. It's like, you basically know what's going to happen. Exactly. How?
Yep.
But I will say, you know, spoiler free, wouldn't you say that there's something different about this Michael Bay movie that I don't really feel they did in the past? And that's part of the writing, the storyline. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, explain to me a little bit. Maybe I'll agree or disagree. I'm not sure where you're going.
So, all right. They created a bad guy that you really don't like, but he's kind of a good guy at the same time, which you kind of like. And then there's another character that you really like, but he's one of the bad guys, and you're really pulling for. There was something here that, like you said, it was a little bit long. But as the movie's going on, you really want to see how this plays out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. 100%.
Which,
yeah, and I do see where you're going. You know, it's funny you say this because I was looking back after I watched it at who the writers and producers were.
Mm-hmm.
Because my immediate reaction was he probably went back and got his A-team from back in the day to come join him with us. And he didn't.
Okay.
I believe the writers are fairly green and the producers... I mean, the only movie that was really sticking out to me that this group had done, this group of producers, was Ready or Not.
Okay.
So, maybe they brought a little different flavor.
Yeah.
To the storyline. But yeah, oh, totally. I was really shocked by the ending. I was not expecting that to, you know, go down the way it did. And I thought the end was actually really intense and exciting the way.
Yes.
You know, he was basically, you know, you're watching them almost get trapped the entire movie.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're in the mousetrap.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen?
Yes. And that was, I thought that there was a, very early on, there was a very, similar scene to like Heat. And it was, but remember in Heat, that scene was at the end of the movie.
Right.
This was like that, but I will say, like on steroids. Because of the home theater effect, because of the Michael Bay effect to this scene. And just picture the scene from Heat and then picture how Michael Bay shoots these shots from like ankle level, looking up at people. Right. And it's like, it's just spectacular. And
it's awesome.
And then each gunshot, the bass in each gunshot, it was just like, you could feel it.
I know.
And there's a ton of them. It's not like it was bang, bang. I mean, there are gunshots.
Some of the all best over. Sounding gunfire.
Yes.
I mean, when I posted that on Twitter, when I came out, I'm like, look, this is one of the best 4K releases in a long time. And I know Dune was phenomenal.
Mm.
No arguing that. But this to me, I mean, just those gunshots.
Yes.
Boom, boom. You know, just the pounding. Oh, they sounded so great. Sounded felt great.
Yes. It was. So what I would say is when I saw that, there were so many things I want. And everything works out for a reason, Todd, because it's what's so funny is that I'm like, all the stuff going on Twitter, all the conversations, there was so much more I wanted to flesh out because of like when somebody said, what about Dune? And I do agree with you. Ambulance is a little bit better in a different way than Dune. I feel like Dune has a lot of great nuances. It has a lot of nice bass. Their sound in that movie really, it's a different kind of a feel. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now Ambulance is like take Twister and mix it with Dune. Right.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is like Twister's just all over the place, ridiculous. And you could put any sounds anywhere. And that's what it would sound like in the middle of a tornado. So right. There's no accuracy to it. It's just a crazy time in your room. Mm-hmm. Ambulance is kind of like that, but everything means something. All those sure. sounds are actually placed appropriately. There's tons of great pans. There's tons of the gunfire. You're feeling it in your chest, but you're also hearing it at different points of your room. It's mm-hmm. it's wrapping around you. So that activity that you're getting, that little bit of nuance that you're getting in ambulance is like Dune, but Dune just doesn't have the same performance. It can't. This is a Michael Bay movie, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, the entire experience is just crisp.
Yes.
That's the word that comes to mind. Just visually, the audio, everything is just so on point. And crisp. I didn't even know what to expect with this movie. I wanted to see it in the theaters, never made it. Then I just kind of forgot about it. Then I downloaded it when it came out, you know, right away. I was like, oh, boom, ambulance. Cool.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really expecting much because I haven't loved a lot of the Michael Bay Transformer movies. Yeah, they're okay. They have their moments, but
yeah,
I haven't loved them. Like I loved his early
right
action movies. Which, you know, The Rock is one of my all-time favorite flicks to watch. I mean, it's such a rewatchable. But boy, right in the very beginning, he had a lot of pans of like Americana,
yes.
You know, the American flag. I mean, that's just right back to the 90s where he did a lot of that. So,
yeah.
But it just looked so amazing. Would you agree that that's one of the best looking 4K films you've ever seen?
Yes. Yes, because here's what I found super interesting. I'm watching the movie. I didn't realize it at the time, but I'm watching the movie and I hadn't seen anything like this on disc that's going to be on disc, I should say, as close as to what I've felt in like a Netflix movie. And then to look back and see he did Six Underground. And I've said for a long time that I think, and I have no proof. This is a stupid ass theory by a dumbass podcaster like myself. But I think that Netflix, the one thing that they are so good at is they're so good at presenting HDR through streaming. They know their limitations, right? Through streaming. So what they're doing is they take out all of those scenes. It's almost like when they put out for a movie, they're like, here's our mandates on how we want you to shoot this for great HDR. And like, so great HDR can be the gradation, like in Dune, in some of those darker scenes, you'll have some nice gradation in the caves or in something right where it goes from dark to light. And you'll have a bright background, but you get everything around you is all nice and great. You see all of those little details, but then that doesn't necessarily play well through streaming because that's where you get your pixelation and that's where you'll get your crushing and banding and stuff, right?
Yep.
So what do you do when you're trying to create a great image with streaming and you know you want to eliminate that banding? You do a higher contrast. So you have those really nice bright backgrounds, but you have nice dark, you know, costumes, I should say, whatever they wear. Or you know what I mean? You create a contrast there that creates a better environment for HDR and streaming. I think an ambulance, that's what makes ambulance look so good. It's like now we're taking what he learned or maybe his visual effects people learned in Six Underground that was made strictly for streaming for Netflix. And now you're putting all of that on disc. And that's why you're getting that full bit rate. You're getting everything on disc. And those cityscape scenes that you see, high contrast sunsetting or something like that, the horizon line, and you're seeing, or the lights flashing by, the close-ups of the light, the
red and blue.
God. It is
beautiful.
Ridiculous how great this movie looks. And I think really that's part pops. Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It really pops. And part of me wonders if a little bit of that has to do with, you know, they didn't add any tinge to the movie, like yellowing or anything. It's really crisp in terms of the coloring of whites. They almost have a little bit of blue to them.
Yeah.
You know, and perhaps that's some of it. Just the coloring of it is so bright.
Yeah.
That it real, but it's not fatiguing to the eye.
No, there's so much going on.
Oh man. Amazing.
It is.
I really think that people are going to be crawling over each other trying to get this disc.
Yes.
Into their home theater. I mean, it's.
Yes. And it's, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, like you said, the millennials aren't wrong. It is a leave your brain at the door type thing. It's sure. Like, I mean, there's a huge, huge flaw to the movie itself. It's like, you know, it could have ended at any time.
For sure.
It should have, right? In the story.
Didn't want it to, but it
didn't
could
want. Have. Yeah. But like the entire thing, you're like, you know, really, they could just, oh, wait, they did it. That's what the end was. You know, it's like, so it's like at any time, but it's like, but that's the entertainment, right? It's like,
for sure.
You know, when you're watching a cop show, most cops sit around that they don't get to go on shootouts every day. So right. It's like, let's have the excitement. But I can't wait to hear what people say that own like a nice OLED mm-hmm, on this.
For sure.
Because those brights are just ridiculous. And
it's going to look incredible.
It is. And that's why, like you said, when you put, I mean, you nailed it when you tweeted that about it being like one of the best discs, 4K discs in a long time, because it has both. And the other thing that I would say is Dune had fantastic sound mm-hmm. and a great picture. Mm-hmm. But I would say at the same time, No Time to Die had come out. Mm-hmm. I love that picture. I like that picture a little bit more than Dune, but I like Dune sound more than No Time to Die. I would say this is the marriage of the two of them. This is the great picture and the great sound. And, you know, it's a thrill ride from beginning to end. It really is.
Yeah. I cannot wait to watch it again.
Yeah. You know,
it's one of those movies where I'm like, okay, when am I going to do this again? Because I think I'm going to watch this one dozens and dozens of times.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very least scenes of it, right? Just mm-hmm. start it and be like, I got an hour to kill. And you watch the first hour, come back to it later and you'll watch the next part, because it for your theater, it is a demo disc. When did you say when were you saying it's out on disc?
As far as I can tell, it's June, late June. Yeah, I said June 27th, but that was a Monday. But that could be a steelbook release over in Europe.
And then we'll get it on the 28th over here.
Possibly. Yeah. So hats off to Kaleidoscape, by the way. I mean, they're getting this out there way in advance. And
I didn't even see it coming. It wasn't up for pre-order or anything. It just popped up.
It just showed up.
And when you saw it, I was like, oh, wow.
Like a hot damn.
Yeah.
Because it's here. I mean,
yeah. It's like, I've already pre-ordered Morbius, which I know a lot of people are probably like, why? But I love it. I actually had fun with that movie. I'm looking forward to it in the theater. Because did you see Morbius yet?
I have not seen it yet. No.
Okay. Morbius is a lot like Daredevil. He uses sonar.
Okay.
So that's what the bait. There's a ton of great home theater scenes in this that I've only seen in the theater so far, but he uses sonar and throughout the city, like he can hear through, he sends out a thing all the way through the city, and kind of like Superman, he can hear everything in the city. I can't wait to hear that in my theater. The boing ring out So, but yeah,
it's amazing what a great home theater experience can do to a middling movie, isn't it? I mean, it's really true.
It is. It's like, I mean, that's the other part that I wanted to get to on Michael Bay is that it's like, he started with music videos of all things, right? And his first big one was Bad Boys, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
95, if I'm right.
Such a great flick too. I mean, and that's another one that I think if millennials went back and watched, they might be like, because it's so stylized.
But that's the point of stylized, right? It's like, if it's not stylized, then you wouldn't call it stylized and it wouldn't have style.
Great movie, great comedy.
Yeah.
Great one-liners. I mean, it's
buddy cop type thing. I mean, fantastic. I honestly, Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, I know he did those, but he didn't direct Bad Boys for Life, if I remember right. Yeah, okay. He didn't do that one, and it's noticeable to me. Mm-hmm. I remember.
I haven't watched it. I own it, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's good, but it's not. I think Bad Boy. So way back in the day when Bad Boys for Life was in the theater, I did a for the podcast. Actually, I did a Bad Boys marathon and I watched all three. I watched two at home and then went to the theater for the other one. And watching all three back to back, Bad Boys 2 is the best for home theater. Mm-hmm. Bad Boys 3 is the worst. And now come to find out, wow, he didn't, for home theater, I mean. Okay. I mean, it's still a good movie. It's another buddy cop. They're older now. It's funny. But it's not, it doesn't have the action of Bad Boys 2. So basically what happened is he did Bad Boys, ramped it up for Bad Boys 2, and then somebody else came in and basically dropped the home theater ball on Bad Boys for Life.
Right. He's like, so, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But he's one of those people that, like you said, The Rock, Armageddon, all, they're all home theater. 13 hours. He did 13 hours.
Oh, 13 hours. That's forgot about that one. And that's definitely another one, feather in his cap. I mean, it's, that's quite an experience.
It really
is. I was just about to say, you know, this is the first time I've really kind of wanted to see more Michael Bay in a long time, but now that you bring up 13 hours,
yeah,
I take that back. But you know what I mean. Like right now, I'm thinking, boy, I'd really like to see another ambulance-esque,
yeah,
flick come out with him at the helm.
He
seems like he's back in his A game.
Yeah, it's and but that's like it's that that's what I meant. Like, do you think like he does this for home theater? Is, do you, I've never heard him speak about it. I've never heard it. You know, I do have that. There is that quote that I use all the time about Ron Howard in Apollo 13. And in one of the extras, he says like everything they put into the disc, he did it for the home theater fan. And he's like, I know how much this means, you know, that idea. And when you hear stuff like that, you're like, now I know Michael Crichton, not Michael Crichton. Avatar. He's doing Avatar. What's his name?
Oh, James Cameron.
James Cameron. Sorry. I don't know why Michael Crichton popped in my head. James Cameron, he used to like have VHS in his head when he was shooting like The Abyss and stuff like that. And the idea of CinemaScope versus 4x3, and we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But they have this in mind because where are you going to see these things more? It's only in the theater for a short time. But its longevity is in home theater.
Unfortunately for James Cameron, though, he's left a lot of that on VHS.
I know.
True Lies. I mean, The Abyss.
I know. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
if he really was focused on the home theater, you'd think he would go back and get those things out in 4K.
Yeah.
But, I don't know the answer to your question. I would assume that they're thinking big screen initially, and then they go back and they remaster the audio for home theater.
Right.
But most of the time, but
just creating these environments to be able to have, you know, he's not making Casablanca, you know, he's making fun home theater experiences, amusement park ride movies. Right.
Well, and to your point, more and more these days, more of us are at home watching these things. So you might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope they're thinking in terms of us.
I have to think they are, because we're getting such, otherwise they would just be giving us, you know, stuff that can play well on a sound bar. And this, this stuff here is, this is where you watch this movie, like you said, like a millennial or something sees it and doesn't have the full experience. Of course you watch Ambulance on your regular, on your phone or on your tablet or whatever, you're not going to have that same environment, and you're going to be like, this movie kind of stinks. Well, yeah, you didn't get to you only got like a third of it. You got the story.
Yeah. I have that conversation with friends a lot when we chat movies. You know, like, oh, I didn't like that one. I'm like, yeah, you got to come over and see that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, hey, you know.
Yeah. It's, you know, when their heads start moving around and they're looking around and they're like, wow, so look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The experience. So folks, get on the pre-order list for Ambulance when you can. I don't think the pre-order is out yet on Amazon, is it?
No, not that I know of. Not that I know of.
Yeah. That's a day one acquisition
Yeah.
requirement. If you're a home theater fan,
honestly, I'm going to give myself, I say this all the time to my listeners, but this is one of the reasons why I don't want to be an affiliate of something like that, is because the reason we're talking about this is we like truly loved it. Yeah. I don't care where you buy it. You know, yeah. it's like I'm doing, and that's what it's like. What can, you know, I was like, hey, something came up. I'm like, Todd, can we talk ambulance? I've been dying to talk about it anyway. So let's do this. And it's like, so that you can get that opinion, because that's what we're about here. We're about the fun, the experiences and stuff like that.
Oh, totally. And, you know, back to Kaleidoscape, I mean, not to pump them too much, but this is one of the great reasons to have one. You know, back,
yeah,
I don't know, last year when you and I first chatting and I started chatting and I was telling you about how awesome the experience of having Kaleidoscape. And this is case in point right here, where you are getting access to this incredible, unfettered experience. You know, you're not streaming it. You're not dealing with those issues, wondering what you're missing out on the video or audio side. You're getting it all and more in this case, right? It's a 73 gig movie file.
Is that download, what this one is? Yeah.
So you're getting a little extra. What that is,
now
we don't really know, but probably image related.
Really? I think it's sound.
You think it's sound?
Yeah, I think they compressed the hell out of the sound to save space, because they don't care, because everybody has a 4K. Most people, I should say, have a 4K television, and then most people have a sound bar. So they want
to. You could be right. I don't know what the,
you know what I mean?
For, yeah, I do.
If you're trying to deliver something to the masses, you're going to, but you want to impress everybody, you're going to give them that great 4K image, as good of a 4K image as you can. And then you compromise the hell out of the sound, because.
And for streaming, that's exactly what they do. When it comes to disc, I'm not sure, but if they're doing it for streaming, they're probably doing it on the disc also.
Yeah,
but
just not as severe. Just not as severe. Cause I honestly, I've noticed on my Kaleidoscape, the biggest difference, and that maybe it's just because I'm better at more attuned to it, is the sound. But over time, and that's probably a conversation for a different podcast, it's like over time, I'm starting to notice the difference in the picture as well. And it's not great. It takes time. It takes, you got to learn, but there is a difference.
It'd be nice if there was a way to measure that.
I know.
You know, to qualify subjective opinion, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It is just it's an experience. If, you know, folks on the fence about that kind of equipment.
If you're on the fence, it's not for everybody.
It's not.
I said
it's
on my
cost prohibitive.
But it is cost prohibitive, and it depends on the kind of collector you are. I had a guest on the other day, and he asked me between that and the Zapedia, and I said, what kind of collection do you have? What do you do? And he's like, he loves his physical media. He loves to go. And I'm like, oh, do the Zapedia, you know? And it's like, that is a little cheaper, and he is shopping for one, but it's like, I mean, the Kaleidoscape to me is an end game product. And I mean, unless you're lucky enough to have it early, you know, the money and the knowledge early on. But to me, it's like, get your system down right, learn your system over years. And then when you get something like this, then you'll understand what you actually can appreciate, what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to your point, I mean, if you're a steelbook collector, Kaleidoscape's not really going to be up your alley.
You know
that. And I get that. I mean, I think it's really neat that people, I mean, you can see my disc collection behind me. I'm not a steelbook collector. I mean, I'll buy things off eBay cheap. I mean, back in the day when I was collecting discs, I'm scouring for the cheapest price.
Yeah.
If you're really into those limited edition releases and things like that, hats off to you. I think it's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. So second to last, I have a really quick one for you at the end, but I was talking the other day, and I name dropped you.
Uh-oh.
And I was talking with one
of the trash man or
no. One of my listeners, and we were talking aspect ratio, and So I had to name drop you because I was like, you know, I'm like, I know you are a hard and fast CinemaScope 240:1 type man. that's what you have. You absolutely.
I have it tattooed on my back, actually.
Exactly. And see, I was going to get that, but my back's not wide enough.
240
so I can't
one.
Get 240
or CinemaScope.
To one. Yeah, I can't do CinemaScope on my back. You're a larger man, in good shape. My back, I'm more 4'3" guy, right? I'm the pencil. I can run really fast though, Todd. Let me tell you, I'm aerodynamic.
4'3" 40, right?
Yeah,
is that what it?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Oh man, but But yeah, so I said, now here's the thing. People get into arguments on this. I don't want to have an argument about it because I can see both sides of it. But I feel like that there's a lot of people that are very hard and fast 16:9 and can't understand a 240 CinemaScope person. Mm-hmm. Pitch it for me, please. You
well, for me,
deliver it.
For my particular setup, I can fit a larger CinemaScope screen into my room than a 16:9.
Okay.
So that starters for me was the reason why I wanted to go CinemaScope. Also because in my theater room, I pretty much only watch movies. I don't have a, well, I would say I don't have a cable box hooked up in there. I do have Apple TV and on occasion, you've seen some pictures of my basement. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some other TVs down here. And when I have friends over to watch a sports game, you know, watch the Washington Commanders or the Caps or whatever, you know, I'll throw that on to the movie screen. But for the most part, it's movies. And, you know, I don't know what the percent is. Like 85% of movies are 240:1.
Yeah.
Something in that range.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
So for me, I'd rather experience that 240:1 on a CinemaScope framed screen than on 16:9. So, you know, that's how I ran for a long time, straight CinemaScope. Recently, you know, I purchased a Seymour Screen Excellence trim screen that allows, it has motorized panels.
Oh, okay. From the sides, right?
Yeah, from the sides. And it's a larger screen. So I had, and it's acoustically transparent, so I can fit my center channel behind it. And I was able to allow it to go a little bit lower in my theater room. So my 16:9 image is bigger now.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, ultimately what you want, in my opinion, is a screen that has trim in both
all four
axes.
Yep.
Right. That's the ultimate screen. If not, then, you know, I had Chris Seymour from Seymour Screen on AV Nirvana Live, you know, and his take was basically, you know, it's dependent on your room. What can you fit into your room? You know, in my case, 240:1 works great. You know, if you're a person that can fit a really big 16:9 screen into your room and you can put masking top and bottom on it for when you do 240:1, by all means, you know, go for it. But in terms of the image, I'm a guy that I love that widescreen shot. And, you know, I've read about the artistic reasons why directors would choose one aspect ratio over the other. And it makes a lot of sense when you think about it in terms of action films like, you know, the Avengers take. If you have a really large individual like the Hulk, and you have a smaller person, or, you know, I mean, like a large robot or something, that's much more conducive to shooting 16:9 or, you know, basically because you can fit more onto the screen height wise.
Right.
But artistically speaking, from the CinemaScope, if you look at a movie like A Few Good Men, at the end, when Jack's giving his, you know, famous lines, you know, you can't handle the truth. If you watch that scene, there's a shot of him before he says that line. It's wide shot. Mm-hmm. You can see the top of his head. He fits on the screen. But when he's saying it, they zoom in. They actually chop the top of his head.
Yeah.
And I had read this somewhere. It was an artistic choice to get that scene where you're really zoomed in on his eyes and his mouth. And I really love that cinematic feel of that kind of shot.
Yeah.
But I know there's a time and place for all of these, stylistic choices for these directors. But, you know, for me, that's one of the reasons why I kind of edge toward that, CinemaScope feel in my room. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it's a great
point. Or makes a good argument.
And yeah. What's a great point is, one of the things that I've realized by looking at pictures of people with CinemaScope screens is it's exactly what you said. It's some people, like, they just have more space than, like, width than they have mm-hmm. height.
Yeah.
So if they don't do a CinemaScope, it is actually like, it looks funny. If you do a 16:9 and you can only go so tall, even if then, and you have all this extra space on either side, you're like, what the heck? Right?
Yeah.
Because my argument was, even the other day, I was like, look, for me, it's like the screen I have a 16:9 screen,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to go acoustically transparent. So I need that little bit of space on either side for my speakers.
Sure.
And then I have that, that's as wide as I can go. Right? So for all intents and purposes, when I put my masking up at the top and the bottom, that is my CinemaScope screen. It's because that's sure. what I would have purchased. It just right. would have been more narrow, and now I would have had an even smaller one. So for my needs, that's what I have. Now, I got to tell you, I'm like, this, and this is probably why I've gone back and forth. I've never been a hard and fast either way. But I think if people are asking, which one should I do? And you say one way or the other without asking this question, what are the dimensions of your front wall? Then yeah. you're not giving them all the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what I was hoping your answer was going to be.
1,000% agree. And, you know, Chris Seymour really drove that home because he wanted to talk about the room driving what kind of screen you buy. And when before we chatted live, you know, I had a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to, well, I'm not sure where this is going to go, right? Mm. But it does make a lot of sense. And he told me that they sell 50-50 on those styles of screens. If you know, of course, his ultimate screen would be, you know, trim on both axes. But
right.
He said it's like 50-50 of what people order. And as I think I told you that there was one director in particular that
you told me it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was off the record. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Off the record, but it's a little surprising, right?
Yes.
I know.
You're like, are you kidding me?
Well, here's another interesting thing about that, that directors that like to flip flop, aspect ratios. Another thing I've read about that is that, you know, they're really thinking of the big screen in the theater where it's not really quite as evident that you're flip flopping.
Right.
Now, when you see that happen on TV, on a TV screen, you know, a 60-inch, 70-inch TV, or on your home theater system, 110-inch screen or whatever, it's really evident. But when you're in a theater, if you're not tuned into it being a possibility that's going to happen, you may not even really notice.
Right.
So, and how do you feel about on Kaleidoscape, how they just go with one aspect ratio?
I love
rather than flip-flopping.
Oh, I love it. Yes, I absolutely love it. Because
so you'd rather be forced into one or the other rather than
I don't like honestly I liked it at first because I thought it was cool, it was different, but then when I did get my masking, I love my masking. I made it myself. It's just I would love to get the automatic, you know, the you know, something like what you have or something. But I just it takes me 2 seconds. My masking is right there on the floor. I just pop it right in. And that mask, having that black level on a projector system, right? Having those black bars be velvet black is, it's so much more. It gives you such a better environment and no distractions. I was listening to, what was the video that just came out that Kaleidoscape did with the, my mind's going blank, of the guy that builds the theaters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
the,
they were,
the,
yeah.
Yeah.
And he was talking about like soundproofing your room, right? And he's like, you're watching a movie, and then he went to that, I can't even remember the scene, but it was a quiet scene in a movie, and he goes, and you're the intensity of this scene, but there's no sound. And he goes, how long are you going to stay into that scene if you hear a toilet flush upstairs all of a sudden, right? And he goes, it might just be faint, but it just pulls you out of the scene for a second, but that's not what movies are. And what I thought about with that is that's how I feel about my black bars on my screen. It's when you're watching a movie and you're very intensely in the scene, but then all of a sudden, like, something happens and you look up and you're like, well, that's not black, but the velvet around my screen is black. It's just, it took me out just for a second, and that's it.
100%.
And it's like, but yeah, if I have my black bars there, boom, I'm locked in. I have great black levels. It, to me, the perception of the black levels in the movies are better now. And it just gives you such a better environment to have that consistently the same.
It alters the reference point of, for your eyes, because there's bleed over outside of the frame, right? Mm-hmm. When you zoom a movie. So it just eliminates that.
Yep.
Right. So you get those, the pure black into the blacks on your screen, and it does, it makes contrast look different.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
For sure.
Last thing though, is if I ever did, now I don't know. I honestly can say, I don't know if I'll ever go CinemaScope or just stay with 16:9. I may, it's going to depend on my room, but it would be a compromise, because the intention of a 16:9 is to be taller. Right. So when you shrink those down, now you're actually making your IMAX movies smaller. So
yeah,
that is a compromise. But that's like compromise. You said, it's what, 10-15% of the movies that you would be going back like that with. So,
right.
I don't know.
The problem is when it's one of your favorite movies, though, that's 16:9.
Right. Right.
It's funny. You know, I actually check. It's one of the first things I check on a movie.
Me too.
Is aspect ratio.
I have to, because I have to put my bars in.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But it's also curiosity.
Yeah.
Just like, for instance, Ambulance. I was, you know, before I bought it, I checked and looked. I was like, what is this? You know, it's.
And that's 240. That's CinemaScope. And you would think the way he shoots stuff, he would go a 16:9. The way that those low shots that he has, that, you know, everything's on the ground looking up. And it's like, you would think that's. But at the same time, it plays really well, because you're seeing that full scape of what he's shooting. And it gives you a better ability to pan up. Because there's more to pan up to, right?
Speaking of those shots, how in the world did he film those down the skyscraper shots? Those were incredible. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, they said the drone work was just amazing that he did. He's like really gotten into this drone work that it's crazy. It is. Yeah. It's really
visually
crazy.
That was. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
I know. There's so much to pull from that movie. There's just so much to pull that, as a home theater fan. And then, I mean, it's just a fun movie. Kind of like, Six Underground was fun like that. All of his movies are like that. Even Transformers, if they're just fun home theater movies. They're not as good as, say, I mean, The Rock is a great, it's just a great movie. You know, Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage.
Be one of Connery's best movies.
Yes. For ever. This type of stuff. Yeah. I mean, you've got Untouchables. You got not Untouchables. Was that Untouchables?
Oh, yeah. Untouchables.
Yeah. Untouchables.
Yeah. He was
Untouchables. But yeah. And then obviously as a Bond too.
sure.
As far as actions go, oh, he was just so good in this. And you loved seeing him in that, being the tough guy, like he could just get out of anything, and like what they had to handle him like a Hannibal Lecter, right? And it was like, you know, like that's how like badass he was, which was really cool.
You know, I have you ever listened to the Rewatchables podcast?
I think so. People have said
they're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good. It's a guy from, what website does he run? He's a Boston guy.
Okay.
I'm blanking. Anyway,
Deer
in headlights right now. But apparently the backstory on Connery there, he had all these stipulations in his contract. They flew him off the film set on the island every day.
Oh, really?
Like a private cabin. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Total prima donna.
Yeah. Well, good. If you can get it, why not?
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Yeah. Like, but he was so good in that movie. I mean, the interplay between him and Nicolas Cage and Womack.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Just
wonderful, wonderful movie.
So
love it.
Let me wrap up with this. I always like to hit you with something funky like this. So I was watching The Phantom Menace because, you know, we're coming up. Well, as we're recording, this is Star Wars Day, actually, but we're coming up on Obi-Wan. I wanted to brush up on my Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan stuff. So I got Phantom Menace and I'm watching that and the pod race scene.
That's a great demo scene.
Isn't it? It's fantastic. It is. Never looked so good on the Kaleidoscape, let me tell you. It really didn't. I went back. I AB'd the bejesus out of it, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I watched disc. I watched streaming. Streaming looks like through a screen door. And this movie, it's the worst looking Star Wars movie, but it just looks so good. You can see all the flaws with the Kaleidoscape. And the disc looks really good, too, but you could just see it's just that much. But anyways, that's not where I wanted to go. I was, as I'm watching it, every time I watch that scene, and again, it just happens to synchronicity, Todd. Here you are. I was just watching it the other day. Is that or is that not a clear-cut copy of the race scene from Iron Eagle?
I have to go back and watch the race scene from Iron Eagle.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Are you being serious? Oh, yeah.
I am dead serious. I am dead serious. Go back and watch
the... heard that?
The only difference is, instead of them all being one guy in the race scene in Iron Eagle, he had to race at the beginning in his Cessna against the guy on the motorcycle.
That's right.
And he's basically in a desert. And they're doing the exact same thing, but he had a stick to like 50 feet off the ground and they're, it's the same scene. Am I wrong?
I'm going to go back and watch that and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
That's so funny. It's very possible that he just,
it's probably a coincidence, but oh my God.
Was he involved with Iron Eagle at all? Lucas?
Lucas? I doubt it.
I
think it would have been better. That Iron, I mean, we talked about it before. It came out the same year as Top Gun.
Right. We should hook up and talk after the new Top Gun gets released on Casecape or disc, whichever is first.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Maverick, I've only seen the trailer a million times. I downloaded I downloaded the 4K and it was the actual 4K. This is how good this download was. I downloaded it, put it on my Zapiti, and the trailer from Maverick. This was like 2 years ago, right? When it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was true 4K that it actually went wider. It made my projector go wider than my screen, which I didn't know was possible. You know what I mean? Because like all of our 4K material is it's technically is 4K because it's the right lines of resolution from top to bottom, but a 16:9 screen is a native 16:9 screen is only like 3-something. It's not 4K. It's like 3.8, whatever the numbers are, correct?
Right. Correct.
True 4K is like CinemaScope. True 4K is 4,000 lines of resolution across the top.
Right.
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 This was shot in true 4K. So
is that available anymore online or is it?
I can send it to you. I have the cop. Obviously, I have it. It's on my Zapiti. So, but it actually made my projector go to true 4K.
Wow.
And it was like, I'm like, no other piece of material have I ever put onto my projector and made it go past the width of my screen.
And it's how did crazy. It look?
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Awesome. It sounded awesome. It looks, I've watched it like a million times. I'm just,
well, early reviews are that the movie is awesome.
Yeah.
It played at CinemaCon or somewhere. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Variety reported that people were just drooling all over it. So, that trailer, actually, there's been a couple in recent years that really, like, hate to reuse this phrase again, but tugged at the heartstrings. The Star Trek reboot, J.J. Abrams' first Star Trek reboot, that trailer had a very similar vibe, and The Force Awakens also.
Yeah.
They both kind of just grab you and, like,
right.
You're like, oh man, I want to see this.
I can't wait to get back. And I mean, I think when that movie opens up, it's not to the level that when Force Awakens opened up, but I think the people there on opening day, it's going to be, you know, applause. It's going to be like, finally we get a two, because I think there's three Iron Eagle movies and this is our first sequel to Top Gun. Come on, people.
Do you have a Dolby Cinema near you?
I do, not near me, but I have one. It's like an hour and 20 away, but
it would be worth going. Have you ever gone?
Yes.
And watched?
Yes.
Yeah,
I have.
This would be the one movie to go make that trek to go check it out in one of those.
Yeah. It's,
yeah,
it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. I can't. And like you said,
is there a release date? Is that December still, or is it?
It's the end of this month.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
He changed it. Okay.
Yeah. No, they moved it to summertime. I'm pretty sure it's like the 20 something, the end of this month. That I want to say, let me look at I'm not looking online. I'm looking at my actual calendar. I'm pretty sure it's the Memorial Day weekend, the 27th.
Awesome.
He's putting it out. I mean, you can't get a better time. And that's why they moved it. It was supposed to come out last November. And they moved it to Memorial Day weekend, which means they're probably going to drop it on that Wednesday because it's a long weekend instead of being
November 2020, right?
No, actually, in 2020, I think the original date was supposed to be like a May release.
Oh, okay.
And then the pandemic.
Okay, so then they pushed it.
And then it was supposed to be 2021. It was supposed to be November. And they were probably like, no, we need the big time for this. We're going Memorial Day. We're going summer blockbuster.
I love the fact they delayed it.
Yeah.
And you know Tom Cruise had a hand in that.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's all about the experience, as we know from his PSA that he did about...
You're right. Yeah, and the whole filmmaker mode.
Yeah, filmmaker mode. Yeah, exactly.
It was him and what, Scorsese? I think. Was it him and Scorsese that did that,
PSA?
It was some director, I think. It was just
him by himself, but was he with somebody?
Well, no, they each did one.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen the Scorsese one.
It was Scorsese.
I love the fact that he did that, because that's the number one thing everyone should be turning off on their TV right away.
Right.
Get rid of that.
I know.
So, you know, he just at his heart, he loves the experience. And there's no way that Top Gun was going to come out to TVs first.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good on him for waiting.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right, that's it, Todd. I will let you go here. Hopefully your deliveries haven't shown up.
I know, hopefully.
Thank you.
It's 12:07. So
I know. So thank you for jumping on in a pinch. Whenever you want to come back, just let me know. You don't have to ask. Oh, maybe we should do it. Just, hey, you text me and I'll be like, we're doing it.
Awesome.
But thanks great, so much. As always, great conversation. Thank you very much.
Love chatting.
Thank you again to Todd. Hanging out with Todd is always so much fun. We're very much not necessarily like-minded, but we love talking home theater, like everybody here, like all of my guests, all the listeners. We just love talking this stuff, and it's just great to be able to, you know, hey, he bailed me out. I wanted to have a fun show this week with somebody. And, he bailed me out, and we had a really good time. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for listening to that. And I hope you learned a little something too, because, the more talk about this aspect ratio stuff, I think there's a case for both sides. And to be honest with you, I really do think it is room dependent. That's the way I'm going to go now when people ask me that question. And it was fun talking to him, because I've been looking at rooms online, like I said with him, I think you start to see it and then be like, you know what? If you had a really wide wall, a really wide room, it would look funny to have. It would look wrong. It would change your experience in that room. So I really do think it is room dependent, and but to each his own, you know, whatever. Because they're all great theaters. It's just to be in the hobby is a blast. So, but yeah, thank you everybody for listening. If you would like to participate in the podcast and actually be on the show on our Takeover Takeover Tuesday episodes, where the listeners come on and take it over. We just chat. It looks like the running time right now, the average is about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours. We don't have to do that. We could just do a half hour, whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you want to do. Usually it ends up being a little longer than what people expected. But yeah, just email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can tweet at me. You can DM me at brightsideht on Twitter. And let me know, and I'll put you on the schedule. I got another great guest coming up this week on Tuesday, so I can't wait for that. And it's just a great time to hang out and talk anything, all things home theater and whatever you'd like to talk about. So great feedback on that. The response has been great from everybody. People volunteering to come on the show has been great. So yeah, reach out. I'll get you on the schedule. And another way to support the podcast, Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/ ooh, I slipped up. It's been a while. / Brightside Home Theater. And you can support the show monetarily, because this show is completely listener supported. I'm a listener of the show. I support the show, and other people do as well. If you want to join there, you can go to Patreon and give as little as a dollar and as much as you'd like. But that's, you know, a dollar a month to help support the show. If you feel like you're up to that, that'd be great. Thank you very much. But it's absolutely not needed, but would be greatly appreciated. So, all right, that's it for the... Oh, and you can buy t-shirts. More and more people are doing... I don't have it off the top of my head right now who did it recently. I know there's a few of you out there. There's a few t-shirts floating around out there. People are wearing Johnny Speakers, as a matter of fact. He was my guest last week. He wore one to, we talked about it in the podcast, as a matter of fact. He wore a sweatshirt to a speaker convention, and SVS actually sought him out. They were like, "Hey, we know DJ." So, that was a lot of fun. We'll hear more on that in a little, coming weeks. But anyways, yes, thank you to everybody that's supporting me over on TeePublic. You can go to TeePublic, look for Brightside Home Theater. The links are all in the show notes. You can check that out too. And you know what? Like I say to everybody, I don't really pitch it because I don't care. I don't care. I hate pitching myself. But the one thing about the t-shirts I'll say is, and everybody that's had them, they spark conversations. People like, "Hey, home, it's not about the podcast." Fine. If we get a listener out of it, that's great. But it's fun for you too, because there aren't a lot of home theater t-shirts out there, especially ones that say home theater. And this says it in bright red across the top, home theater. And then it says bright side picture sound and all that. But people go, "Home theater. Oh, you're into that." And just the fact that they're going to say that is huge, because that means they are too. Most people just, if they read it, they're like, "Oh, the nerd, he's into home theater. Who cares about those people? I want to talk to the other nerd that likes my t-shirt." So it's a great conversation starter. So that's it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for participating. Thank you for everything, for all the support that you've given me. Have a great week, everybody. Now go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.